Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Konnichiwa, and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off. That's right, the tech, nerd, and geek culture podcast of the Black Altus premium selection of podcasts. Today I am joined by some people that we know, people that have been on the show before. First person first, it's been a while since he's been on the show. It's the legendary Aaron Rand Freeman. What's up, dog?
And nothing much, just not now. I stumbled upon Borderlands, and now everybody's back on it. I'm kind of hyped now. Get up on this Borderlands.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy how Xbox Live does drive some of my purchases, man. Yesterday, for my birthday, I actually went and bought I actually went and bought Black Ops 2 again. Even though I didn't enjoy Black Ops 2 that much, but I just saw so many people that kept playing it that I'm like, man, I never talked to that guy anymore.
It's fine. Listen, I bought my copy, hated it, sold my copy, then bogarted my nephew's copy, and then he was like, yeah, okay, give it back, and I was like, all right. And I take it from time to time just to hang out.
Yeah,
just to hang out.
That's what it is. It is a hangout for me. And I think I had a coupon for like 20% off of used games at GameStop. And then I had my 10% discount or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pull the trigger on this and just look myself in the mirror. And
that's the one thing that I think people didn't understand about between Call of Duty and Battlefield. It's like, oh, Battlefield's a better game. It's like, it's a better game. But when it comes just to hanging out and chilling with your friend and not getting frustrated, nothing beats Call of Duty, dog. At some point, you're just like, yeah, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna go 2 for 20. But we're getting these jokes off, so it's all good. It's all good.
Call of Duty is so breezy. That's their intention, I think. But it's so breezy, it's not even a joke.
Right.
I'm just gonna have my riot shield and my laptop. I'm gonna just be on Facebook here in the Battlefield. Don't mind me. They're gonna be like, "That's cool, Aaron. LOL." You know, whatever.
Right, they're like, in the Battlefield, people are like, oh, man, but it's not realistic enough. I'm like, yeah, no, man. That's why we're doing it, because yeah. I don't get stressed out enough, man. It's like, I played Battlefield 3 when it came out, and I liked it. I mean, the one problem I had, and I'm probably going to get Battlefield 4 this year, but I liked it. It was just that the maps were too big. But when you get into these intense battles on Battlefield, that shit was stressful. Like, I never got that stressed out playing Call of Duty.
It's like a real person died.
Yo, dude, you play Battlefield 3 for a couple of hours, you come out with PTSD, dog. That shit is not cool.
It's like the game, it's like the movie Gamer. Where right. It's like, yeah, you're playing a video game, but someone really lost their life behind that situation. Speaking of which, the second person that you just heard is Chris from the Insanity Check. You guys should be familiar with his voice also. And of course, with Aaron Freeman, you can find him on everything Twib. Whenever they get back, when you guys are getting back from hiatus, Aaron?
There is so many moving parts. We were supposed to be back on hiatus 2 weeks ago. So there's so much going on. I can no longer answer that question. I'm going to say before Christmas so that nobody holds me to anything.
I hear you.
Before Christmas. Or maybe just for Christmas. Maybe that'll just be like Christmas Day.
Oh,
hey guys.
Ho, ho, ho. We're back. All right. Well, first things first, I always like to start off the Nerd Off by asking people what they've been watching and what they've been playing. So I'm going to start with Aaron first, man. What have you been watching? What have you been playing?
I've been playing Splinter Cell Blacklist. That game is really, 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 really good. I realize now also they changed developers. I was wondering why it was so much better than the other Splinter Cells. It's because they changed developer. It's a totally different bunch of people making it. And it's just got, it's kind of like Halo 4 where the entire experience is inclusive. So you're playing the game and on the overworld map you can see people playing multiplayer games and it's all kind of woven into this one really tight world. Sam moves well, the game plays well. It's a whole lot of fun. And frankly, it's like 24. Like his character, they've just said, fuck it, we're just going to write Jack Bauer.
Oh.
He is literally just, it's like 24, the movie, the game, the movie 2, The Annihilation.
I think I could be in for this.
It's very, very good.
I really have one question, and that'll probably determine if I buy the game or not.
Go.
When I am discovered using my stealth tactics, am I a little bitch? Or can I go impossible white man and take out a room full of terrorists?
No, listen, listen, you can play the game, and nobody see you except the two guys in the whole game. You can play the game and kind of sneak up on everybody, or you can play the game and just literally walk in the level, fire a handgun in the air, and then make eye contact with everybody and play the level. So you can do that. It's no problem. The game would prefer, as a matter of fact, one thing I like about Splinter Cell is it doesn't punish you for going crazy. As long as you're consistent. Like, the game will score you lower if all of a sudden you murder everyone and then towards the end you start hiding from people. The game will be like, what are you doing? Minus 50. If you start killing people, kill everybody, go crazy. Yeah. I noticed you started the level, firing missiles into the crowd, continue to do so. So the game scores whatever you're doing. Just do it. Okay. Just do it well. That's all.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because, like, that was my only issue with Splinter Cell games in the past was, like, you know, I spend 45 minutes sneaking around a level, but then I get it down to like two or three bad guys. I pop up and it's like, we found them over here. Bah, 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 bah. You're like, oh, come on. Like, I don't think that's how that would go down.
No. In this game, like I said, you're very much Jack Bauer. Like, have you ever seen Jack Bauer? He'll sneak around and kill two guys and then somebody will see him in the window and then it pops off. That's right. Pretty much it. You can hide, but you also mostly you're just incredibly mobile. Right. Would be the best way to put it. You're not a bitch. You can move. You can kill everybody in every room you encounter.
Jack Bauer is really being stealthy for the sake of the bad guys. Like, he's like, I would prefer not to kill all of you guys. And that's why I'm doing this.
That was actually why I was going through the game quietly. I was like, I really don't want that. It's like 15 people in this room. There's no need for me to kill all 15 of these people. I can just knock one dude out and be done with it. But sometimes all 15 of them see me and then, you know, I'm like, sorry, guys. Sorry.
And have you been watching anything, you know, TV, Netflix, anything like that?
I took a break from Fringe to watch Hell on Wheels. I love that show.
So Hell on Wheels is good.
Hell on Wheels is superb. Hell on Wheels, I like it. You know what I like about it? And I feel like some people argue with me because sometimes when I say things, people are like, well, I can guess what's going to happen in the story. I don't care. I'm not that type of person. I don't watch a movie to have my mind blown. I just want them to be executed. I don't. So Hell on Wheels is a slow burn. Mm-hmm. It's just a Western, but it's a very good story and a very slow burn. So even the things you know are going to happen have impact because you've been kind of looking at it build up. It's not just something that they lost patience with and then dropped on you. You know, it's a very patient story overall. But even to the point, like if you ever look at any cover art, you see a possible white man. They build up to that. They don't just have this dude come in and shoot everybody in the head. It's very slow. It's not a lot of action for a show that advertises itself as an action show, really. Mm. It's very, very good.
I could probably be talked into that because my main actual problem with it, the reason I didn't get into it, was because I just assumed that Common was probably not good in it.
You know what happens? It's like if you keep hanging out with NBA basketball players, eventually your basketball skill increases. Just by hanging out with Dwayne Wade on Saturdays, right? You become a better basketball player. There are so many good character actors on Hell on Wheels that Common has become a B actor by just association. These are Shakespeare people. You can see them on stage in part. These are actors, all of them. And just by hanging out with him at the gym, he's become a better actor.
I need to go back and I want to watch the whole first season and get into it. I've caught episode by episode every now and then. I think when it first started, I watched the first two or three episodes, and I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, Common isn't bad in this. He's bad in everything else, but like what Aaron says, it's because everybody else is so good, Common has no choice, plus the way his character is. He has no choice but to be at least decent.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it's amazing, you know?
Yep, there's a character called the Swede. I forget, I think his name is Chris Heyerdahl in real life. I think it's the best acting job I've seen since Heath Ledger was the Joker.
Whoa.
Yep. To me, he's the best crazy person since Heath Ledger was the Joker, to me. Mm. And not only that, combined with the show's patience, it's a slow burn too, so you just see every inch. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's like that team is like led by LeBron James, and like you have no choice but to get a little bit better.
You're just gonna be open. I mean, you're gonna be so damn open. You got it.
You're gonna get a good 10. You're gonna get a good 10-10 just off of being on the team with LeBron, and that's what Common's doing right now. He's turned into a good role player from that show.
Well, I think I'm gonna check it out, man. I'm currently watching Breaking Bad, but Hell on Wheels might be one of the next things that I take on. Chris, man, I'm sorry, Aaron. Was there anything else that you were watching that you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm good, please.
All right, Chris, what have you been watching? What have you been playing, dog?
So, as far as watching, still doing the Cartoon Network thing. We talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we... So, I haven't watched the Incubator episode from Squidbillies yet. I haven't downloaded it. I need to watch it. But I was falling asleep on Sunday, and I happened to wake up right, like, at the beginning of the last Squidbillies episode. And holy shit, if that wasn't the funniest Squidbillies episode I have ever fucking seen.
Yeah,
it's called Drone to the Bone.
Yes.
And I had to go, it was so good, I had to go find it, and cause I don't have a DVR. I had to go find it and download it so I could watch it again. Because the shit that happens towards like the middle, the whole episode is good. But like from the middle of the episode down to the end is just the funniest shit I've ever fucking seen in my life, yo.
Dude, that song, Mountain Folks Find a Way, when they're killing all those drones, is amazing.
Yo, I've been going back, and I wanna almost extract the MP3 from it, and make that like the opening theme song to like The Plain Dead or something like that. Cause dog, this shit is hilarious, man. It's like the shit he says in that joint.
Yeah,
like you can barely catch it, and it's so early.
He says, so, man, the line that caught me, and I didn't even hear it really until the trailer, to like the end credits, because they play the song again without all the action going on. And it says something like, till Hitler Obama comes and takes my gun, we're going to take America and make a Kenyan run. I was like, what? They just... You can't just throw that in a cartoon as a throwaway line, dude. I was dying so much, man. Hey,
like that whole entire episode from when they break into the joint. Like there was another one where they were talking about the titty bars. Yeah, they're in like this little the U.S. Army has set up like a little like training area for them to shoot drones at, and so Granny and Early thought it was like a new development that they were going to move into. So he sits down and he's like, ma'am, we got to support the titty bars and have titty house. And they see like a little, like a school. And she's like, no, you can't put a titty bar beside a school. He's like, that's not a school. That's a terrorist training camp. She goes, well, they're still learning. So they're learning a skill.
Yeah, she called terrorism a trade skill. Dude,
they're still learning a trade, and this shit was fucking ridiculous.
That's the thing about the Cartoon Network shows is it feels like stealing. It just feels like if anyone else was watching this, it would go off the air. Like if one of those like groups that is like, you know, National Parents of America, somebody got a hold of this shit, it's no way it would continue to go on. But
I'm shocked that they get away with it. Like I almost feel bad when I joke about this stuff and talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to get too popular. Like I think you talked about this before, about you don't want to get it too popular because you don't want those other asshole groups coming in and taking it out.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, man, that shit had me rolling. I've been watching that episode on repeat.
Yeah, it's very, very inappropriate, man. But yeah, I recorded it too. And I watched it twice that night. I was just so like excited. I was like, well, before I go to bed, I guess I'm get one more watch in. And
that's the thing about it. They're 15 minutes long, so you can do that shit.
Yes.
Yo.
And then, the other part of the episode that's crazy is the whole army recruitment angle.
Yes.
And how they use like a video game and like, cause the thing is, it makes really good satirical points about how we have distanced our soldiers from violence so that, mm-hmm. It is almost like a video game, how people use drones and all this. Like, that shit is hilarious, but it also is poignant where you're like, yeah, I guess we are kind of, you know, desensitizing people if you think about it through the you know, through video games and then into warfare.
And a lot of these Cartoon Network shows do a little bit of that, but I think this is the Squid, and Squidbillies always kind of does something like this.
Yeah.
But this is the one that did it like the best in recent memory. Like I said, I still haven't seen the one you saw before. But I'm like, yo, this was really good. I mean, they were hitting all the points.
wait till you watch Incubator, because Incubator has this, like, it is kind of a throwaway storyline, but it's with Rusty's baby mama, mm-hmm. and she works at a Hooters type restaurant called Juggins. And it's just about, like, how do they treat these women like crap, and, you know, the sexualization of, you know, this corny restaurant waitress and stuff. It's just so good, and it's just like a 2-minute throwaway plot, but it makes a point, but you're laughing the whole time.
Right.
So they just do such a good job. What else? What have you been playing?
So what I've been playing is, I just started this, I think it was Sunday. I started playing the last, because I'm trying to get as much of the DLCs I haven't for games I like playing, mm-hmm. trying to get all the DLCs out of the way before GTA comes out next week. So I was like, well, let me finally play this DLC for Borderlands 2. It's called Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep. Dude, this is one of the best DLCs I have ever played in my life. It's Borderlands 2, so all the Borderlands 2 DLCs to me have been good and funny, but this one is even more funny. If you're going to play this DLC, first of all, make sure you've beaten the game, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's set after you beat the game, and that's important because certain characters are dead, and so the way the plot is set up, it's basically a board game that Tiny Tina is playing with the survivors. And so she's playing the game, and because she's like, what, 9 or something like that, certain characters are dead, and she keeps forgetting they're dead, so she keeps saying things about, yeah, and now something else shows up, and they're like, but Tina, we told you this person isn't coming back anymore. Like, all right, you guys have played Borderlands 2, and it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
So Bloodwing is dead, right?
Right.
So at one point, so you're in the middle of playing a game, and Tina looks over at Morty and goes, hey, Morty, something seems different about you. Oh, that's right. Hey, where's your bird at? I really like that bird. And Lil goes, yo, Tina, we talked to you about... I'm sitting there dying. And then also, because it's like one of those like Dungeons and Dragons types games mm-hmm. that are making fun of, so it's like you'll be playing the game, and she'll be like, okay, now we're going to go into the Forest of Tranquility. And Brick will be like, Tranquility? I don't like the sound of that. She's like, all right, fine. I'll come up with a new name. So you're walking through the all of a sudden, it changes the scenery, and it becomes really dark and shit like that, and trees start attacking you. She's like, now it's called the Forest of Where Trees Will Eat You and Kill You to Death. It's just like that kind of shit that happens in the middle of the game. You'll go down the wrong path. Next thing you know,
remember specifically, she said, now I'm in the Tranquil Kingdom, and then someone goes, Lilith goes, it's tranquil. You just said that the evil sorcerer fucked everything up. And she goes, oh, right. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, all right. So the sky is not, it's a stormy night, and everything smells like butts and dead people. And then then everything changes. Like, literally the day, everything changes. And all of a sudden, my character goes, man, it smells like butts and dead people in here.
That is how the entire fucking thing goes. It is that fucking funny. You'll go into something, and you'll be like, you'll go and do a mission, and you'll be like, okay, this wasn't that bad. And then something will happen all of a sudden because either she'll change it or one of the other characters, like Brick, will do something stupid. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you're in a boss fight for no fucking reason. It's also a ridiculously hard DLC. Like, everything's leveled or even above your level that's in there. It's really hard to do solo. Mm. Like, me and Woonga were playing it yesterday, and it was kind of hard. And, but it's so much fun. All the different, like, when you do, like, some of the other DLCs, you get some different characters, but for the most part, they all look the same. Almost everything in this one has changed. It looks completely different. It's like you're playing an entirely new game, but it's fun. Oh, my God. I've been having so much fun just listening to what they're talking about and playing it. Yeah, man. It's an amazing... It's an amazing game. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, the game is basically supposed to be a coping mechanism for all the other players that survived, so they can get over, you know, all the hardship they just did in, you know, beating Handsome Jack. So, yeah, man, this shit is fucking hilarious, man. It is. You gotta play that shit.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna get started on that soon. I've been playing Need for Speed Undercover. I still think it's the best Need for Speed game they ever made, man. And I started over. Finally, I figured out how to start over from the beginning because I had beaten everything in the game last week. And then you basically just driving around an empty city. And I was like, well, this can't be right, you know. But I'm playing through that again. Really fun. Beat Crackdown last week also for the second time. And that was cool. I just basically stayed up to like 3 or 4 in the morning with a marathon session with Phenom Black. The only thing that was weird though is in his game, I could not die. And I didn't do anything to make it that way. Like I died right away. And then when I came back, I was unkillable. I killed all his bosses for him. I just walked up in people's spot and just started blasting people away. And I kept noticing my health bar wasn't going down. So I don't know what happened on Crackdown for that to happen, but okay. And I still need to get back into The Witcher 2. I was trying. I got a little frustrated with being a badass that picks berries and mixes potions. Like that just, it always throws me off in a game when I'm the baddest motherfucker on the planet. And then I have to be like, ooh, raspberries. I'll need this for my
health. Never took off those herbalist gloves, by the way. Yeah. I don't care how many crabs I kill. Herbalist gloves, stay on. Stay mixing raspberries. I don't even know what your problem is, bro.
It always throws me off because my macho, like in my mind, my macho man dude would never stop and be like, sage, you know? But I'm sure that, like, in real life, survivalists do shit like that all the time. Well, where it's like,
also, Witcher dude is on all the performance-enhancing drugs at the same time, and he mixes them himself. So it's a little manly, a little bit.
Yeah, it's very manly. It's not like, I'm not even joking. Like in real life, if I met a dude that's like, nah, man, I don't need none of that cream. I'm just gonna mix my shit myself and do it, you know, and hook up these herbs. I'll be like, man, how'd you learn to do that? And you know, he could break down how he does it. But in a video game life, I'm just like, yeah, just give me something to drink and I'm good. Like, can we just make health potions in my pack and I can just like slug one of those like a Gatorade after a battle? So I gotta get back into The Witcher 2. I really just started. I was on the siege of some city.
Although, real talk, if you don't care about that, you just it's easy. A lot of the little those potions push you right over the edge in the hard parts of a normal game, but on easy, this is a normal game. It's a little less minutiae, especially if you think it's BS. It's generally easy. I'm not morally opposed to that. I don't know. And I'm too old.
Maybe
turn games to easy if they're annoying, so.
Maybe that's what I should do. Turn it on easy. I didn't even think about that either. I was just like, I'll learn how to you like, that's the challenge of it made me want to master it, you know? Like,
I'm it's worth it, but if you ain't in the space, don't worry, be grown. You ain't got time to be sitting and mixing berries if we don't want to mix no damn berries in Americans.
You right. All right, let's talk about, and what I've been watching is, Breaking Bad. A ton of Breaking Bad. I finally finished Sword Art Online a couple weeks ago. It was a great anime. Everybody should check it out if they're into anime, and especially if you're into role-playing video games. It's extremely well done. And it has a lot to say about society and how we interact as like online entities and build friendships and how it works offline and all that. You know, all that stuff is really philosophical. I really appreciate it. The bad guy does get kind of rapey towards the end, and that was weird because it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, who's this new guy and why is he like licking his chick's face? But nothing, you know, I think nothing like, it's not like it doesn't turn into hentai or anything, but it just has that moment where you're like, well, this is a character twist that, Japanese people always throw into something. But, I still enjoyed the game tremendous. I still enjoyed the anime tremendously. Breaking Bad is good, man. It's a little, I think it's a little slow. And I just finished season 3, so I started season 4 this morning. But, the way that it vacillates between white people problems and serious drug dealer problems is way better than Weeds. Like, Weeds always had her kind of like shit just working out because she just like hee hee and like walk through some, you know, gang fire or something. With this, it's very much like, dude, you're not from this life, so you're gonna have to change how you think about shit or die. So I really appreciate that aspect of it. But yeah, it's a bit slow. But, yeah, I'm sure I'll, I'll have more to say as I, if I, when I finish the series, but, yeah. And then, I have to ask people that have watched it, and I think I'm having a guest on the Blackout Test. I gotta ask him tonight. Like, I don't get why people hate the female character Skylar on that show, cause she seems to be the most sane person of the people on the show. And from my understanding, nobody likes her. So we'll find out. Let's talk about some different articles and news that we have, guys. First things first, did you guys know that Netflix inked a pay TV provider deal with Virgin Media?
Hmm.
Yep. First ever. UK's Virgin Media announced Tuesday that its TiVo customers will now be offered access to Netflix streaming service. So instead of having an Xbox or having to hook up a Blu-ray player to the internet, if you have a cable box, you have TiVo, you'll be able to go watch the catalog of Netflix films and entertainment right from your TV. I kind of hope they do this with everything. Like, I hope U-verse makes a deal. I hope Time Warner makes a deal. It'd be cool. I didn't know. I guess maybe they feel threatened that people won't buy the pay-per-view stuff, but I wonder how many people really buy pay-per-view stuff from their cable box at this point, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know.
The on-demand stuff, and this is why I always laugh when they always had those commercials about, oh, well, you get it before you get it on Netflix. I'm like, yeah, but not for the same. I get entire Netflix catalog for $7.99. You want me to watch that movie, which will be here on Blu-ray in like 2 or 3 weeks for $7.99. Mm-hmm. Fuck yourself. Like, no, that's just like that pricing model doesn't make any sense to anybody with a brain.
Yeah. For years, pay TV providers have attempted to target services like Netflix that they have viewed as threatening to their services. But for the first time, a pay TV provider has seemingly acknowledged the value provided to customers by Netflix. Can you imagine thinking of customers first? Amazing.
I know.
It's
weird. Crazy.
Like, and plus, if I was a cable provider, I'd try to get out of all those, like, movie deals and shit. Like, I don't care if, you know, like, just sublet it out to Netflix. Like, hey, we got Netflix. I think that'll be a huge thing for a lot of people. It's like, we got Netflix. You can, you know, you don't have to pay for Netflix anymore. You can watch it straight through your TV if all you do is a streaming anyway. You know, why pay extra for that service? No more watching, you know, or maybe even, and I bet you it'll even transfer to where, like, if you have a laptop, you can probably still use it and stuff like that.
And what these people haven't realized is that even when Netflix will quietly take something off of Netflix and you won't notice it, and you'll be like, damn, they took that off. Oh, but they put this on. Like, I wanted to see, like, Insidious is coming out. The next Insidious is coming out. Mm-hmm. I never saw the first one. So I was like, well, I know it's on Netflix. Let me go look for it. Oh, it's not on Netflix and Insta-streaming anymore. So I was about to be mad, and then I was like, oh, look, something else is on. Okay, I'll just watch that. You know, it's just, I don't know.
I go to a website called hackingnetflix.com, and they just give you, like, the breakdown of the new releases and the new streaming. Mm-hmm. And you just see stuff all the time, and you're like, that's streaming? Wow, like, I can't, you know, already I can't believe that, you know? And they don't make a big deal out of it. It just is, you know? So, I think more people should get into it, man. Like, I think this week it was like, There Will Be Blood, Parker, Requiem for a Dream, Men in Black, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I mean, 51st Dates in Portlandia all were just like, you know, they just dropped. And I didn't even name some of the ones I wouldn't watch. Like, actually, I would watch Zoolander again, but you know, shit like that where it's like not a huge deal, but Netflix doesn't ever stop putting content out. So, you know,
right.
it's always a smooth look. Speaking of which, Sony and Viacom reach a tentative deal to stream cable channels. So, we've talked about this is more stuff like this is always more funny to me because when Xbox says it, people are like, man, I don't give a fuck about that. That ain't got shit to do with my video games. And then Sony quietly leaks like 3 weeks later, like, we're gonna do that too, guys. Yeah. So yeah, they're gonna do an internet TV service that Sony is creating. Viacom has tentatively agreed to let its popular cable channels like Nickelodeon, MTV be carried by this channel, by this station. So, I mean, by this service. So, it's believed to be the first of its kind between a major programmer and any of the technology giants that are trying to disrupt traditional modes of TV delivery. If other programmers follow suit, Sony's as yet to be unnamed service, I should say as yet to be named service, would let players subscribers receive live cable channels the same way they use on-demand libraries like Netflix and Hulu. So,
yeah, like you said, man, I just find it funny that, you know, all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, because we knew this and we called this.
Yeah.
Sony does it. It's greatness. Xbox does it. Well, I can't believe. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
People are still angry.
No, I think so.
I think people have, you know what? We've been proven right. So at this point, people are no longer angry. For like a month after we started the Nerd Off, I was still getting random tweets of anger from people. And like within a week or two, Sony would say something where I'm like, I just want to send this back to you. Did you see this article? It's like, yeah, that it's this, the console war can't be but so different. Like if you offer a completely different experience, you run too much risk for your, you know, for your investment. So
yeah.
it just doesn't make business sense for either one of these consoles to let the other one run away with all this extra shit. You need to be able to do it, even if it's not going to be your main thing.
I would argue that in 5 years, both dashboards will look the same, except one will be green and one will be blue.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I pretty much guarantee that. Sony is quietly doing everything that Microsoft is doing right, and Microsoft is quietly doing everything that Sony is doing right.
Yep.
And, yeah, so...
I've been saying, this is one of those things where it's like, people were either going to buy one or the other or buy both. I don't believe any of these motherfuckers when Xbox announced all their shit were like, oh no, fuck Xbox, not doing that anymore. You were never going to buy it to begin with.
Yeah.
I just refuse to believe that.
Yeah. I think honestly, the next console generation is going to come down to like, which controller you like better or some shit. Like, it's just going to come down to something like, but I know the X button is over here and, that's it.
Yeah. You know what? I always tell people, just say you don't want to use the money. You don't want to spend the money. I tell people this shit all the time. People have all kinds of crazy, zany reasons for not wanting. Listen, I get it. It's $500. I don't want to just tell me, I ain't got the money to spend $500 extra on entertainment. Right. Valid. Okay. They'll be like, well, you know, the controller's too big for my hands. And, you know, the internet's slow on the Wi-Fi. And, you know, my Ethernet cables are too short to reach over to the PlayStation. Like, listen, you're poor. We're Americans. Most of us are poor. It's okay now. We're grown. When we were teenagers, we were like, you know, you wanted to put on a good face. We're grown. It's okay. You got kids. You got rent. An extra $600 doesn't grow on trees.
Right.
In fact, you're going.
No. You're right. You're obviously going to co-sign what you're saying and say that, you know, people ask me, why are you getting Xbox? Because that's what I play now. It's like, I'm old. I don't have time to learn something new. I'm comfortable with Xbox. It's not going to change much. That's why I'm getting it. It's not because I'm more one than the other. It's just end up getting an Xbox. It's not even games anymore. It used to be games. I remember when people were trying to say, well, look what PS3 is doing. Look what PS4 is doing. Xbox One's getting this. I'm just like, most of these games are going to be on both systems, guys.
Yeah.
Like just stop.
Yeah. And the thing is for me, it's gotten to the point now where, and this, honestly, it was the same way last generation. It's up to you to lose my money.
Right.
I don't have the time to have like 3 and 4 consoles and shit. So it really is up to Microsoft to lose my money. Sony lost my money last time because it took forever for them to come out with a console. And then by the time they did, it was out of my price range. And it was that simple for me. Like it was like, well, Xbox just had a sale and you get 2 free games. Well, I guess I'll get that shit. Cause I'm not going to get a PlayStation. I think this time they both learned those lessons and they're coming out within a week of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to leave it up to people to, you know, go 50-50, basically like one Xbox, one PlayStation, and they'll be a lot closer in sales from jump and a lot closer in price from jump. And it's going to be up to people, you know, to determine their own adventure.
We're adults, guys. This is the same. We're all adults. Being an adult, if you ain't got the money, if you don't want to spend it, it's okay. That's why I'm not getting a PlayStation 4 for a bit. I realized that was my decision was shaped by, if I'm going to throw $500 at something, I want it to be something that's a little more ambitious than just a Xbox 720 or a PlayStation like 4, 2, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? So it just seems as though, like I'm looking at it, Microsoft is just being more ambitious at the moment. So yeah. It seems like actual new shit. Yeah. I'm so satisfied with every game in my house right now and my whole gaming experience. Outside of the fact that blacks, women, and homosexuals aren't allowed to play games on the internet, I'm generally satisfied with my entire gaming experience to the point where I don't really care about a new console that much. But if it's ambitious, I'll try the machine. Right. You know what I mean? But Microsoft is going a little harder.
It's crazy too because Xbox is even trying to fix that. Like the new reputation system where mm-hmm. they basically stick the vulgar gamers with the vulgar gamers and the, like, instead of trying to be more like, well, let's just, you go in, you can mute a guy if you want, but it's like, no, we recognize you don't want to play with that asshole. So we'll keep him away from you.
You know what was a good, you know what they might say, you know what was a good idea back in the day? Prison Islands. Mm-hmm. How do we incorporate Prison Islands into our online service? And right. there you go. Be a scumbag, go the island. Everybody else.
And Xbox One, it was announced in the UK that it's coming with Forza 5, I believe, free. So I was just like, what? Y'all are giving away a $60 game, with the console? It's like, yep, it's coming away free. So, that was just a, you know, crazy ass thing I heard. Next thing, Microsoft's Xbox One will be able to support up to 8 concurrent controllers. Now, I'm going to just go on a limb and say, I don't think I'll ever have 8 people with 8 controllers in my house. So let me just start right there and say, like, cause I don't want to hype this feature too much. Cause I don't think I'll ever take advantage of it, but that would be the coolest shit ever. Like, if I knew 8 people with 8 Xbox One controllers and we could play a game of whatever together, 8 of us at a time, that's pretty dope. I can't imagine the shit talking that would pursue in, you know, tag team, Tekken or some shit if we could get up to 8 people on it.
Right. The only reason why I've never been a fan, because I think, what can Xbox do now or PS3 do now? What, 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, the only reason why I've never been a fan of that, I don't even like when it's 2 people doing a split screen, unless it's a fighting game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've never been a fan of making the boxes on the screen. And the way I see it is, most households have more than one TV. Mm-hmm. Dude, just bring your Xbox over, and we'll put the TV beside each other, and we'll do it that way.
Yeah, that's what we did. Like, maybe if it was, when we did Malcolm Xbox Day back in the day, my boy, like, he brought over his TV and his Xbox, and we basically had 2 consoles going at the same time, and that's how we played it. But I don't think I would be necessarily excited about having 8 people in my house playing at the same time. That's kind of what online multiplayer is for at this point.
Well, not only that, but to me, if I'm having 8 people over to play a game, I don't want 8 controllers. I want the Kinect to start doing something. Like, that's the one time that I saw a bunch of people playing the Xbox. We went on a ski trip, and we had Kev actually was with us. He brought his Xbox and he had his Kinect at the time, and they were playing like those the Wii Sports games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's something different. That to me is where you get the, because 8 people to me is a party.
Right.
You're bringing 8 people to play Xbox, that's a party. So let's play a party game. Mm. I don't really know of any other games that would be fun playing 8 people over. Can you imagine playing Call of Duty on a fucking screen with 8 boxes?
I was thinking more like Castle Crashers or some shit. I wasn't even thinking close to Call of Duty. That's infuriating.
Right.
I just got killed again. I should have
looked.
I think, who can I, is that a person I'm shooting at or a dot on my screen?
I'm not gonna lie, that's the one thing I used to, I was really bad at when we were playing as kids, man. We used to play like 4 people on a screen. I always used to get distracted by the other boxes. It could never tell what I was fucking doing. Yeah. That's why I used to hate multiplayer at that time. Now, shit, I can play against you on my own big screen? Oh, yeah, I'll take that.
PlayStation 4 is said to come with a Kinect-like voice recognition. So.
That's that PlayStation Eye thing. You need the camera to use it, don't you?
Yep, using the PlayStation Eye camera.
You need to use the camera to do it. And they didn't make that. I heard they actually cut it out of the original idea just because, like, literally right before they came out on stage, they removed it from the base package of the PlayStation 4 just to stick it to Microsoft. Because you have all these features with the PlayStation 4 that don't work.
Yeah.
Unless you have a PlayStation Eye, but then they just literally, they literally knocked it off. They literally, like, kicked it off. They kicked it off the table while no one was looking. Like, hey, guys, it's $100 less.
Yeah,
hey, I seem to remember this Black Lead podcast that was talking about this very issue that said that Sony sounded like they had actually cut out a lot of the stuff they were already going to do just to stick it to Microsoft at the press conference. I can't remember what show that was.
I seem to remember reading several very anger laced emails about that podcast and how they were all fanboys. Mm-hmm. And could not possibly have an unbiased opinion.
Be grown. You guys were adults. Shout out to being adults. Good job, guys.
Yeah, I can't possibly remember what that show was, but yeah. I mean, I guess those guys were right. You know, and this is what bothers me about it. It's just like we live in a world this day. It goes with movies, games, hell, even politics. Where people will downplay, it's like the Syria thing. Like I saw that McConnell was like, oh, we don't support the president going with these airstrikes. It's like normally you would support that dude. What are you doing? That's the kind of lifestyle we live now. Mm-hmm. So it's like now all of a sudden people are like, wait, voice commands for my Xbox, voice commands for my PlayStation. Man, I don't want that. I don't need that. Really? So you mean to tell me you've never watched a movie from the future where they can voice command and activate every fucking thing? You're playing around with Siri to find out shit you could easily Google, and you're telling me you don't want voice commands for your game console.
Yeah, I agree. Oh,
actually, I was looking at this, and I'm looking at just demos of it. Apparently, the voice commands are just, like, that was my thing. It was the matter of whether it's faster than picking up a controller and holding the button in the center, and apparently it is.
Yeah.
Apparently Xbox One works from my fucking doorway. So I can just come in, there's the Xbox on, and everything's already on in the room. That, like I said, that's just short of having a keychain activator like a Knight Rider or something like that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that actually sold me with the original vision of the Xbox when they were just like, yeah, it has to always be connected and your Kinect has to always be on. And people were like, I don't want to be monitored and shit. And I was like, well, what does that mean? If it's always on, like, what's the benefit? And it's like, well, you can walk in the room and go Xbox on. I'm like, yeah, I want that. I want to be able to do that.
Like, people were making it seem like it was going to be like Skynet spying on you. It's just like, come on, yeah.
The thing about it is, I don't even understand what's so important. Like, real talk, if my Kinect wants to send pictures of my ass naked to the FBI, go for it. Knock yourself out. I don't care. Yeah. I am not bashful. If you guys, if the government wants to check out my ass, go for it. No cocaine in here.
Yeah.
I know I'm making legal Mexicans. I'm good. I'm just naked. Go for it. Stare all you want. Yes. Xbox on.
Someone will be wasting a ton of time at the NSA checking on my ass. So if that's, if that's what it costs to be able to walk in my room and go Xbox on, okay, I'm game. But yeah, it was pretty funny that, you know, it needs the PlayStation Eye to be Kinect-like. Okay. Sony, and this I thought was cool, and this is one of the first things I heard out of Sony that really made me be like, maybe, at some point I might get a PS4. They're working on a VR headset that's kind of like the Oculus Rift. For people that know, the Oculus Rift is basically like this headset, apparatus that you put on your, like a helmet you put on your eyes, and it kind of immerses you in a 3D world. You can look around it. Now, theirs is a little bit different. As of yet, I think it's like, even if you turn your head, the actual view is set. So it's not like the Oculus Rift where if I turn to the left, I can see everything a player would see if he turned his head to the left. And vice versa. It kind of keeps your vision straightforward as of yet. But, you know, it's something I will keep an eye on, man, because 2-3 years into the gaming cycle, if they announce this shit and Xbox has nothing, you know, Microsoft doesn't have anything to rival it, it could be a huge game changer. I could definitely see it like that selling me a console, just the idea of being inside a game instead of, outside. And the only drawback to this is you look like a douche when you're wearing it. there's no way to, you know, offset that part, but no one has to know.
Yeah. Right, you're in your own home, so it's okay.
Right.
I gotta try the Oculus Rift. I swear, I hate to say this, but the Virtual Boy many years ago fucked my shit all up. The idea of putting on a helmet, it doesn't sit well. I can tell it's a childhood thing, so I'm down. Like, if you had one and you lived next door, I'd put it on my head and try it out, but I need to get one on my head, because I'm not as psyched as everybody else, because all I see is red geometric figures that stay with me for 40 hours after I'm done playing it for 10 minutes. That's all I see, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Call me old.
But my boy who has one told me basically, it's still very rudimentary. Like, it's not really completely fleshed out yet. So, but he said it was a cool concept, and like, he'll go in and just kind of put it on and mess around. But he's like, it's clearly not ready for prime time. Like, you couldn't put a Halo game on there yet. But the idea that he was saying was basically like, imagine being in a Halo game as a first person shooter, except when you turn your head to the right, you can see everything to the right. And, you know, you look up, you can see the sky. You don't have to like manipulate a controller or anything like that. And I was like, that sounds pretty cool. So, but, we'll see. There's something called a NIMI bracelet that uses your heartbeat as a password.
All right.
It's called biometric password protection. It's unique to your own cardiac rhythm. And, you wear like a bracelet, and you put your finger on like these, metal pad things, these little tiny things. And, it can take your heartbeat rate and, immediately tell like if it's you or not.
All right.
Yeah. I just thought it was cool. That was all, you know. We'll see what happens with that.
And one other thing about it, maybe I just need more awesome things. Like, I think in life, if I was like Scrooge McDuck and I had like a money bin and helicopters and wanted adventures, then I want to protect things with my heartbeat and have things wrapped around my forearm. But I'm just a dude. I got a Mac and an Xbox. I'm sitting here. So I don't have the perspective. I'm not in that space. So I just like, well, all right. That's
yeah. Cool. Uncopyable. It does make your password uncopyable, I guess, though. So. Mm. Microsoft is detailing smart glass integration with the Xbox One. Basically, it does the same shit, but it's faster. There you go. Saved you all guys a lot of reading. I read that whole article to be like, so it's 4 seconds faster? Thanks. Rockstar, the co-founder Dan Houser. This is becoming, more and more interesting as more people start getting different perspectives on video game playing. He explains the lack of a female protagonist in Grand Theft Auto 5. Rockstar's decision to only feature playable male characters in Grand Theft Auto 5 was necessary for the story of the game, studio co-founder Dan Houser told The Guardian. Despite the studio's knack for highlighting culturally relevant themes in its games, Houser stated the lack of playable female characters in the games was because the concept of being masculine was so key to this story. Grand Theft Auto 5 allows players to switch between three playable characters, something that Houser says allowed us to create nuanced stories, not a set of archetypes. Rather than seeming like you got this super criminal who can do everything effortlessly, they're all good and bad at different things. The result, he says, is a group of rounded and believable characters. We like the idea of a protagonist retiring with the family and how awful that would be. We've never done anything like that. And you don't really see it in games to feed into the concepts of parenting and pseudo parenting. So I just thought his, reasoning is not that solid. And I think the reasoning that most of these guys really have is just that we weren't even thinking about that shit.
Yeah.
Well, why can't they just admit that? I was hearing his argument. It's like people were getting mad the other day at this all black male panel that people were doing with Cornel West or some shit like that, and they came up with this. Well, just come out and say we didn't think about it. Like, we're a bunch of dudes sitting around the office. We thought about characters. We're all dudes. We decided, shit, we made all dudes. We weren't trying to exclude women on purpose, but it just fucking happened. Either live with it or don't buy the fucking game.
Yeah. I can't guarantee, like, if I wrote a story, there'd be a lot of black people in it. They go, hey, how come your story has a lot of black people in it? They go, oh, shit, there are a lot of black people in my story.
I think people kind of miss the reason why there aren't a lot of black people or women protagonists in these games. It's usually because those people aren't the ones making games. And when you make games or movies or whatever, you usually tend to, you know, go with the groups that you know best. It's like Aaron said, if he was making a game, it probably would be a lot of black people in it, because you know a lot of black people, same thing with me. And it'd probably be a lot of black males. It's just like, just what I write what I'm more comfortable with, because I'm comfortable with that. If you don't have women there, you know, that's probably what's going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think he needs to... that should be the explanation. It's like, we didn't have any women working on the game. Yeah, maybe we should have, but we didn't.
For me, there's two major issues. One, and something that people don't talk about with Grand Theft Auto, but I think it should be more of a topic. It's very derivative. Grand Theft Auto is extremely derivative. They take from a lot of movies and just like pop culture, and it's pretty much what the games are. It's like... I know it's kind of satire on it, but it's also people living out there, like, get up, their mob fantasy. They're, you know, hey, I watched Goodfellas and now I want to play Goodfellas, the game. And it kind of is that for a lot of people, you know? So that's part of it. We don't have enough female protagonists in a lot of stuff that they would even be able to gather something to, for lack of a better term, to shark from, like, we need more female mafia type movies before they can go, oh, that was a iconic scene in this movie involving this cat. We're going to just steal it for Grand Theft Auto. Cause that's pretty much what they do. Like almost every game has a few, like every mission is just like, I think I saw this when I watched, Blow, or, oh, this is the scene from Goodfellas where he fucked this dude up for no reason. So that's part of it. The second part of it, and this is something I always am kind of a little bit cautious about. I don't want anyone doing diversity for diversity's sake.
Exactly.
If you're going to do it, can you please hire some people that know what they're talking about? Like when they finally made, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the reason that a lot of black people like it is because they actually did have a lot of black gangster movies to rip off. So it made sense to have the racist black cop. It made sense to have, you know, CJ's story as the guy from the hood who's kind of supposed to be a good guy, but also kind of a gangster. And, you know, like a lot of the shit that they ripped off, you're like, oh, this dude's like O-Dog from Menace. Oh, that guy is like Sam Jackson in this other movie. And this dude is like so-and-so from Boys in the Hood. Like, you could tell they were ripping off themes, but it was okay because you were like, I'm familiar with these themes. They need to hire people or at least have some type of reverence for females and strong female characters before they do something stupid, like put them in a game and make shit worse. Cause it, matter of fact, we will talk about it in a second. It can be worse.
Right.
I'd
rather you not do it at all than do it and make it painful and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand these people that continue to harp on this shit without, like you said, and I'm glad you pointed out about Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto usually is based off of other things in pop culture. So if movies and games, things like that don't have, especially, you know, those kind of portrayals, there's nothing to really go off of. I mean, I can think of a few characters they could have had, but it's nothing that's major enough that I would think that you would want to put it in Grand Theft Auto right now. And that's a society issue as a whole.
Yeah. We need movies that have strong female leads that can, you know, part of it is society's issues because these are roles of bad people, quote unquote. And society has a very big issue with letting women be bad. Like women have to be some type of angel or else it's like all hell breaks loose. And, you know, there's no such thing as a female gangster unless she has like a heart of gold and a really good reason for doing it, and you know, like she couldn't just be like, I decided to take over the city and kill people. Like I'm gonna be Griselda Blanco, the real life criminal, was not sitting around like, well, it's because my son has cancer. She was like, no, I want to sell cocaine in Miami and be a boss. How about that? So yeah, rip that off, man. I'd be cool with that. Speaking of female characters, Hideo Kojima, of the Metal Gear Solid fame is, in a little hot water because he, created, some more characters and they're, you know, they're releasing more information about Metal Gear Solid 5. And, one of the characters is this super sexy, woman that is wearing basically like a thong and like see-through pantyhose and like
this is what happens when you force diversity.
Like, to me, this is one of those, like, and this is why everyone can't make women female, can't make female protagonists. Like, this is why we can't have nice things, because not everyone is prepared for this. You know, instead of a game like Remember Me, where the character, you know, manages to stay fully clothed and there's no erotic, like, let me bend over into the camera and show my boob scenes. Mm-hmm. We got Hideo being like, pantyhose is pretty good, like, wear for the battlefield, right?
Right.
Like, female soldiers wear ripped pantyhose and thongs, while fighting against giant mechs. That happens all the time.
See, that's the thing that I always laugh at when they say, oh, we need more women in video games, and I can't believe Grand Theft Auto didn't. It's like, look at the way nerds and developers, comic book writers, usually portray women in these games to begin with. I'd rather you wait and do it right than try to force these guys, who idea of putting women in video games is putting them in bikinis and high heels all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just, you know, and giving the action star the hugest boob job in the world, because, you know, every time you see an athletic woman, she has to have huge boobs.
Right? I just put the bottom part of her costume into the chat, and it essentially is a thong and pantyhose and then a gun belt with ammo on it. Like, it doesn't make sense. Here's the thing about Hideo, though. He's purposely making the characters more erotic in an attempt to encourage cosplay, so women will dress up like the characters, and he can.
Great. That's what? No. What?
Like, I thought he was trying to sell me a video game.
But not like, only that, but like, I've seen these cosplay women. You don't need to encourage them anymore, dog. Like,
right.
You need encouragement to dress skimpy. Like, I've seen them turn, like, characters that aren't supposed to be dressed skimpy into skimpy designs.
Right.
Like, you don't need to go overboard.
And even, well, my point is this, man. Like, besides even the cosplay aspect, what you're telling me is that you didn't give a fuck about your video game. Like that, and it's one of the reasons, man. I'll just say it, man. I know it's not gonna be popular, and we'll probably get a little bit of emails. It's why I don't like Metal Gear Solid, and I haven't for a long time, and I don't fuck with it. It's nonsensical. The stories there's too many liberties taken with the characters. There's too many versions. It's like seven different versions of Snake. One from the future. One of them's old.
I've maintained that Hideo Kojima has disliked Solid Snake for that. He's been trolling us ever since. Like, I think the idea that Metal Gear Solid was a generic, it almost feels like he was trolling, he was writing a troll story, and that became his most popular story, is that he's fucking us. Like, the only time you play as Snake once, then we play as not quite Snake even after you buy the game, head fake, and then you play as his dad, and then you play as old Snake with a bad back, who can barely walk. I'm like, really? It's a troll. He's fucking with us. He's like, yeah, you like this stupid character. Here's your stupid character. LOL, 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 LOL.
Yeah. Here's a game as Raiden. Oh, you didn't. He's not on the cover. You didn't buy for that? Too bad.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Now you got to play 6 hours of Raiden naked running around a facility. But yeah, I'm not a fan of these games. And mostly because like Aaron said, he put it into better words than I can. It does feel like he's trolling people. And when you say shit like this, you're not selling me a game, dude. Like, I'm sorry, but no.
I'm on a level with you. I've always said this. I think that we have a problem with Japanese lineage titles from when we were kids. That there are games that we liked when we were 15, 14, 16, and they were magical. And we never got over that they're not good. As we got older, as games have eclipsed them in the same genre. There's no way in the world you tell me Splinter Cell has not been better than Metal Gear for the past decade. But when we first played Metal Gear, we were all 13, 14, 16. It was magical. And I get it. It was magical for me, too. That shit's stupid now. Metal Gear Solid 4 is a bad game on a lot of levels.
Right.
But, and I feel like it's like that. Like the Final Fantasies, Resident Evil. These games we played when we were kids that we still hold in high regard, even though they've been falling by the wayside, and we stick up for them. because we knew, like, the childhood play. We knew them when we were kids. It's okay. It's fine. Resident Evil 6 was good. Metal Gear Solid 4 is great. You shut up. Final Fantasy 13-7, great.
Right.
Awesome.
It just feels like, specifically for Metal Gear, like, the effort isn't there to try to tell a coherent story. It's just like they're not even gonna... It's like what looks cool and what would be, even the trailers are more about what's quirky and funny than like this is the next chapter in the evolution of the story. And while, you know, that's cool for some people, I personally feel like the bar has been raised by way too many companies, where we get a coherent, good story. And I feel like I'm done. Like, I don't need to waste my time with this shit. Like, Sterling's asking, have I played? Yes, I've talked to someone who's played. Actually, Aaron Freeman has explained the story to me before, like, through Wikipedia links and all this shit. And I remember being like, Aaron, this is too much. It's bullshit. Like, it would not take, like, if you ask me about...
My opinion is super duper formed. I've played all the Metal Gears because I don't ever want to, because at some point I was like, I hate Metal Gear. This is wrong. I can't just, this can't be bad. This story can't be terrible. And then you fucking, I made a point to play it so I can have the opinion that it's shanked.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And
you know what it is?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I've tried to play Metal Gear Solid, and one, like, even if you understand the story, it's confusing as fuck. It is confusing as fuck. Even if you get the story, you have to admit it. Like, and I'll say this, not just this game, Assassin's Creed is starting to get that point way too.
Yeah.
Where it's become, there becomes a point where you make so many of these fucking games. Like, this is why, to me, BioWare got it right with Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
You keep it a trilogy, keep it simple, and do it right. And then you can add on other stuff that might be a little bit related, but it's not the same as the main story. Like, when you keep trying to go on and on and on and add on and tie everything together, it becomes convoluted as fuck, and you start to lose people. And that's what it is with me with Metal Gear Solid. There's a lot of stuff going on, but you lose people, and it becomes a point of, this is too much fucking work, and you lost me. And that's what it is with Metal Gear for me.
Yeah, it's too convoluted, man. Like, I bought, like, the first three or four games. Like, I had them, and then, like, I remember reading entire articles when it's like, and now the new version of Metal Gear is coming out. What will it be about? Find out here. And you're reading like six pages of shit and you're like, wait a minute, who am I right now?
Who is this guy again? Like,
yeah, you're like, I'm a clone or I'm not a clone? Or yeah,
so is this game before the last one or after the last one? Or is it parallel to the last one? Or is it 10 years in the future? What the fuck is going on here?
Yes. It's too much for me, man. But yeah, but it doesn't help. My point being, it doesn't help when the developer, when the guy who comes up with the game is going, yeah, I just want to see girls in thongs and pantyhose. So that's why this character is so important to the game, is because I don't see enough titties when I go to Comic-Con. And this is the only, like, no, sorry.
Have you ever heard of a game called Dragon Crown, Rod?
Chris? Dragon Crown? I don't think so.
Google Dragon Crown women.
Okay, all right.
Google, if anyone's listening, Google Dragon Crown women. Now, if you can keep from just staring at it, because it's just borderline porn. They have the game where the women are all extremely like, yeah, you see what I mean? They like this, and it's weird. And someone tweeted the artist. I forgot his name. They said your game has your characters in the game are a little problematic. He replied, "Too bad."
What are you having the game again?
Dragon Crown. I'm putting the Google research if you want to click into the chat room, I just put the Google.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah. Good God. He's not even trying to hide. He's
trying,
what are these boobs even made of?
I didn't know they could get boob jobs back in this time, dog. What the fuck?
The boobs have boobs. It looks like what you draw when you're 12 and you're just like discovering hormones.
The best strippers Krypton has ever generated are in this game.
Yeah. Even the dudes look ridiculously like proportioned too. I mean, in all fairness, but it's still ridiculous. Like, it's, what is the point of this game other than being ridiculous?
This is Viking porn, yo. That's what this is. It's Viking porn.
This is crazy looking at all these different, like, fan arts and stuff. It's just, it's like, what if witches wore thongs? Is pretty much the right. way this looks.
Because that's what they would do, you know.
Wow. But yeah, man, I just, like I said, you're not going to convince me that Hideo Kojima has the best interest of fans in mind when you literally ask him, like, hey, man, why is she dressed like this? He's like, well, it's very important to the story, see.
Wait a minute. Sorry. Metal Gear Solid has a 90-minute cutscene?
Mm-hmm.
All the Metal Gear Solids have a 90-minute cutscene.
Oh, fuck.
No, the first one didn't, and the third one was a little lean. That's my favorite one, because it was a little lean. And yeah. the second one, its ending was like an hour and 20-minute cutscene. In Metal Gear Solid 4, at some point, I just went out of the house and came back.
And yeah. It was still on?
It was still on, yeah. The ending of Metal Gear Solid 4 is at least an hour.
Holy crap.
Fuck that, man.
Also, that's one thing no one ever says. I don't understand why no one... A 90-minute cutscene is a game design. Fuck up.
Yeah.
If your player's sitting there watching for 2 hours, you're fucking up.
It's like, you basically play the game, then you watch the ending as a movie later on, yo. On a separate Blu-ray.
Right.
Put that shit on my tablet so I can watch it on the train I go to work.
Dude, that reminds me of what game was that had the like hour? It was like an hour and something of cutscenes within like the first hour and 30 minutes of gameplay. It was a Japanese role playing game, and I remember playing it and being like, when am I gonna get the controls again? And then I hit like start, I was like, fuck it, I don't care the story, I just want to get back to gameplay. And it was like, you can only pause this scene, and you can't skip it. So, Sterling, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
All right, man. Now, I don't know how long you have, but you told me in the chat room that Metal Gear Solid is pretty simple to explain. So I wanted to.
No. I never said it was simple to explain. I said it was explainable. That's what I said. I never said it was simple to explain. It was said that you couldn't explain.
Well, you said it's pretty. You said it's pretty straightforward.
All right. Well,
Just go ahead and give us the rundown. It's pretty straightforward. What exactly is going on with Metal Gear Solid? The story.
The quickest way I could say it would be a dude that's a badass secret agent is really badass, so they make clones of him, and then the clones don't like him. That's really it.
That it feels like they add a lot more elements to the story than this when I play it.
But that's the basis of it. It's just this nigga was so badass they wanted to make clones, and the clones don't do what you want them to do, and they all have like fucking personality issues for some reason.
Okay. For some reason.
Exactly.
All right.
Maybe
I'll just
Joss Whedon will write the reboot.
Yeah, I'm just gonna I'm gonna chalk it up to basketball reasons, like David Stern. Like David Stern did when he fucked up that trade. I'm just going to say Metal Gear Solid basketball reasons. Because honestly, when I played it, it was not straightforward to me at all. And what was messed up is I played entire games, and then I'd have to talk to a hardcore fan of the series, and then they'd be like, well, this is what actually happened, and this is what you don't see, and this is what you really went through. And you know, between this game and that game, this thing happened, but you can't know that unless, you know, you follow some of the other stuff that goes on offline. I'm like, man, I don't have the time. I'll just take your word for it.
Yeah, I must have missed that part. Yeah, I've never done all that. Like, I just, you know, played. I never played the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I played the second one, the third one, a couple ones in between or whatever, and the fourth one. And I could get the story, but it's the weirdest way to say it. Like, it's definitely a convoluted story, and there's better ways to go about it. But if you play the games and you watch their long-ass cutscenes, you can understand it. I'm not saying it's easy to understand. I'm just saying you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's Ocelot Revolver? Is he a Snake clone or is he some...
No, not initially, no. Okay. He was just like his enemy, and then one of the clones went into this nigga's arm or some bullshit like that. So now he's part of the clone. It don't make no sense.
Yeah.
Listen to what you're saying, man.
Yeah, man. Come on, Sterling. I feel like...
It sounds like bullshit, yo.
Yeah, it feels like an intervention. It feels like when Kev thought Spider-Man 2 was the best Spider-Man movie.
Don't forget, I meant to say this. Revolver Ocelot was a friend of the original Snake that got cloned, and an enemy of one of the clone snakes. And then the other clone snake went into his arm and assumed his personality after his arm got cut off by a cyber ninja in the first game. Just to be clear.
Like, here's the thing. I remember playing I had to go back and make sure. I remember playing the first Metal Gear Solid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even that game was confusing as fuck at some point. You're like, why am I doing, what's going, what is this? Like, this, it's bad story writing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's got a solid following. I think people enjoyed some of the gameplay elements of it and the ability to sneak around and be stealthy. I think that's why so many people liked it, because it was a huge game. But story-wise, it is not good. It is a very convoluted story, and it's getting worse. And that's what's bothering me about Assassin's Creed right now. I feel like Assassin's Creed started off with a good story, but now they're stretching it out, and it's now becoming so convoluted that now I'm just like, you guys got to end this. You guys got to do like Mass Effect 3 did. End it. There will be questions. Go back later and do another trilogy or something like that and explore those other elements. Don't try to do it all in one series and try to tie everything together like this, because it becomes too confusing.
But it's just but Sterling believes that it's not that confusing, right?
No, he says it's confusing. He said it's explainable. He's using semantics here. He says it's very confusing and it's convoluted, but you can explain it, which I believe that somebody out there probably could explain it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
We unfortunately lost Sterling right in the middle of this, which might actually be fortunate, man, because I don't want to turn it into the Sterling roast. That's my dog, but I don't know how not to roast that response. So I'll just leave it at that, and we'll definitely have. But you guys know we'll have Sterling back at different shows and stuff. Let me get some more quick hits in. Japanese gamers are disappointed. PS4 isn't launched until 2014 in Japan.
Yeah, that is a little weird to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're forgetting your bread and butter, but whatever. I guess I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be out today in Japan in November for the rest of us, but okay, I don't know. Maybe Sony knows something that we don't.
Right. That was weird to me. It's kind of like how Avengers came out in China before America, I guess. Maybe we're just at that level now where it's just like, we do the away games first. Marvel wants a female superhero film. They have contacted Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica fame, and she was in Riddick recently. I don't know what role she's supposed to play. Like,
Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, I think they were talking about doing Ms. Marvel for her.
Really?
Anybody else she can play?
Right, I don't think so, and I don't even know if she'd actually end up getting it, to tell you the truth. I like her in her smaller roles, but I don't know about her on the big screen for something like that.
The thing. I think what they would probably do, it would be a hybrid thing. Like, they would introduce the character of Carol Danvers, like, on the show. And they would, like, lean her into the movie where she gets her powers and stuff. So I'm assuming that it would be a hybrid. Like, I'm assuming now they're casting people for hybrid roles. So you may be on TV and in a movie.
Yeah, you know, I think it can happen that way.
Yeah, it is gonna be a new era once you start bringing in, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because it's really gonna be interesting to see how, and DC's trying this too with Arrow and stuff, how they handle TV versus movies and how those roles translate, because there's a disconnect in a lot of consumers' minds between TV and movies where it's like, oh, this guy's a TV star. I don't want to pay to see him in a movie.
Right.
But then there's, you know, and some people have made the leap, but they don't really go back and forth. Like George Clooney made the leap, but while he was like a A-list movie celebrity, he pretty much stopped TV. Like it was like, okay, I can't be doing both. So it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, we see the guy who's the lead in Arrow as Arrow on WB and also Arrow in the Justice League movie.
Well, so I also think that the way that DC and Marvel are approaching it are two different ways. I think I'm not sure if the way DC is doing it is a way that will work, because it's doing what you say, taking the guy that's casted, that might be cast, and I don't even know if DC is going to do this, but let's say they do. Take a guess at the guy they cast for Flash in the TV show, and they take that and then move that into the movie. I don't think they're going to do that, because I don't think that works. Even with Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., a lot of fanboys got mad because Whedon came out and said, listen, don't expect to see a lot of A-list characters showing up in Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're probably going to go with B-list characters or create new characters for this, Because why tie our hands and use a character on TV and then want to put him onto the big screen, and then we either have to stick with the TV guy or recast him? So what Marvel's trying to do is, yeah, we have Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. You have basically the smaller character like Clark Gregg being, what's his name, Agent Coulson. And I think, who's the chick that plays Hill? Maria Hill from...
I don't know her acting name, but I know what
you mean. Yeah, Colby's Mothers, I think that's her name or something like that. Mm-hmm. So she'll be on, she might be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Other than that, I don't think you'll see a lot of overlap between the TV
and the movie. Well, look, I read an article the other day, and it was, you know, speculating, obviously, but it did provide a very interesting perspective on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it was like, there's so many characters with S.H.I.E.L.D. ties in the Marvel Universe that they could introduce them through the show and still have them be in the movies. Like, characters that wouldn't have major roles necessarily in the movies. Mm-hmm. And especially under the guidance of a guy like Joss Whedon, I think it absolutely could happen. But like, you know, they were showing like, well, you know, She-Hulk has ties to S.H.I.E.L.D. Elektra has ties to S.H.I.E.L.D. and they now have like the rights for her back and stuff like that, where they were like, you know, they won't necessarily be headlining their own movies possibly, right, but they could. It would be a cool, like, oh, this. And then they were also saying like storylines could make it from the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. into the movies.
Oh, I definitely believe that. I definitely believe that's going to happen, that you're going to see ramifications either from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. into the Marvel Universe, cinematic universe, or the other way around.
Yeah, because like, doesn't it feel like, for people that watch Thor and I think Avengers, it might have just been Thor and Avengers, but people that watch those two movies, doesn't it kind of feel like Daggy could have made an entire like season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. out of just a Tesseract?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like all the, you know, couple cameos by the guy who plays Loki and shit, because you don't really need him, you just need a couple looking in the mirror and it's really Loki scenes,
right?
And I think Joss Whedon could make something out of that. And then by the time you get to the movie, instead of people being like, well, you know, it's just a MacGuffin, a big magical cube, it's like, well, actually there's an entire season of this show dedicated to exactly what it can do,
right? I'm hoping that kind of happens. Now that they have the show, I mean, the show comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
On Tuesday. I'm hoping that kind of, because they're going to be talking more about the larger world of superheroes now through this show.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that kind of does tie in there.
Yeah.
And what you were saying about She-Hulk and things like that, what I'm hoping for some of the smaller characters is that if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. works, I'm hoping that we start getting more TV shows. Because some of these smaller characters, I believe, are more set and more are better for TV. I was talking to somebody else the other day. They were talking about doing a Hulk show. I didn't see how that works, because to me that costs a lot of money to do the Hulk because of the CGI. But She-Hulk to me is different because she's not as big of a CGI character to be She-Hulk.
Right.
And you can then turn it into like she's a lawyer. I mean, that's just there's so much you can do with that show.
And it's not like Daredevil. And it's not like you need She-Hulk to be punching a giant dragon in the middle of Manhattan.
Exactly.
Like, so you just need She-Hulk to like throw a car at somebody, and you do that a couple times an episode and everybody's cool.
Right. I mean, I feel like those kind of things you can do and then tie those in to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, and then that can then tie some of those stuff, the storylines can then tie into I'm really excited to see what they do with this. I feel like Marvel's really onto something here, and what I'm liking about Marvel right now is the chances they take. Even like with the things, like some people, it was hit or miss with the Mandarin thing in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
What I liked about that was they took a chance.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, technically, DC is taking a lot of chances too. I do want to give them credit. Yeah. It's just that their chances don't always work. But, I like that both franchises are kind of taking chances. It's just Marvel has a head start and they just have way more figured out than DC at this point.
Am I the only person that thinks that immediately dropping your Batman movie load right after the Superman movie is actually not a chance? I think that's actually kind of safe. Like, wouldn't it be the unsafe thing where it'd be something like where you start leaning towards Justice League? Like, you start leaning small and then you go up, like, you know what I mean? Like, right now, like, after the Batman Superman movie, it has to be really well set up for me to care about the rest of it. Just like, I'm good. Like, right. They have a situation where I've already seen Batman and Superman. Why would I care about The Flash? I mean, Arrow's on Netflix. I mean, why would I care? But I mean, why
they
would I care?
In my opinion, they are definitely going to have to drop something in Batman Superman that refers to the Justice League idea. Like, it's just, there's no way they can come out of this movie and just Batman and Superman shake hands and fly off and that's the end. It has to be something where it's like, I've been thinking about getting a group of us together. There's this guy here and there's this guy there. And something like, they have to have it so figured out, because that is what the end of Iron Man and Iron Man 2 really were about, where it was like, oh, wait, they actually have some shit figured out. They got Sam Jackson cast already. Like, you need that moment where we go, oh, wow, they already have so-and-so cast as the Green Lantern. You can't do the, well, we'll see what happens in the future. No. Speaking of fan service, this might be my favorite story of the day. And I think Chris talked about this on Sanity Check, but Roberto Orci, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Orci.
talk shit about the hardcore Star Trek Trekkie fans that shit on Into the Darkness and told them to fuck off, quote unquote. He read a post by this dude, Joseph Dickerson, who claims to be a Trek lover.
A dick.
StarTrek.com, and he basically, you know, shitted on Into the Darkness as like the worst movie ever. So he basically said, I think the article above is akin to a child acting out against his parents. Makes it tough for some to listen, but since I am a loving parent, I read these comments without anger or resentment, no matter how misguided. Having said that, two biggest Star Treks in a row with the best reviews is hardly a description of broken. And frankly, your tone and attitude make it hard for me to listen to what might otherwise be decent notions to pursue in the future. As I love to say, there's a reason why I get to write the movies and you don't. Respect all opinions, always, nonetheless.
That's all the wrong words, though.
You know what, though, man? Like, that is the shit that I live for, because I do find nerds to be, like, sometimes so adamantly wrong and angry that I do wish somebody would be like, I'm doing good work. Lay the fuck off.
Trek fans need to hear this. I'm sorry, but Trek fans need to hear this, because as somebody who watched just about every Star Trek out there except for Enterprise, these motherfuckers have lost their goddamn mind. I mean, Star Trek Into Darkness is the worst Star Trek film of all time over some of the others. Like, Star Trek, the motion picture was on this morning. That shit is horrendous, all right? It is horrendous in comparison to the last two Star Treks we've had on film. These motherfuckers have lost their goddamn minds. And I'm sorry, someone needs to tell them this.
So he asked he basically opened the floor like, look, guys, if you guys think I'm doing a bad job, pitch me your version of Into Darkness. Pitch me the plot. Let's compare to other pitches. Go ahead. So a guy basically compared Into the Darkness to Indiana Jones, which I think anyone who saw the movie would be like, come on, man.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
Yeah, it ain't exactly that. So he replied to the guy. I guess the guy's username was Shitty Job Dodge or something. He said, Shitty Dodge. Star Trek Into the Darkness has infinitely more social commentary than Raiders in every universe. And I say that with Harrison Ford being a friend. You lose credibility big time when you don't honestly engage with the fucking writer of the movie, ask you an honest question. You prove the cliche of shitty fans and rude in the process. So as Simon Pegg would say, fuck off.
Oh, wow. These guys. Simon Pegg told the other motherfuckers to go fuck off too. I fucking love these guys.
I love it, man. Like, I'm tired of, you know, I'm just tired of this idea that, like, well, you need to be humble about, I made greatness, dog. Like, before me, Star Trek movies were some shit, dog. people are taking them seriously for the first time in a long time, man.
I'm not saying you need to respect all the cretins. I'm saying you need to not call them cretins and tell them to fuck off to their nose.
Why not?
That's a lot of added weight
I don't need on my day, man. Like I said, I'm good with words. I like trolling people with just normal language. I'm not saying I wouldn't troll scumbags. I'm saying that I wouldn't tell them to go fuck off directly because I don't want that. Because that just becomes its own narrative. Even if someone was being a dick to you, you tell them to fuck off, all of a sudden you become a bad person.
In fairness, Aaron, he says Simon Pegg would say fuck off. That is an indirect fuck off. Like, he didn't say fuck off myself, but as Simon Pegg would say, because he had better words for this than I did.
Here's the reason why I say no to that. Because when you're constantly hit two movies in a row now by the Trek fans that swear up and down that you're ruining their Star Trek, and that they go as far as now going to Trek convention and voting your last movie, which is one of the best Star Trek movies they've ever done, saying that you have ruined Star Trek and it is the worst Star Trek film. They voted, what was that Tim Allen movie, Galaxy Quest? They voted Galaxy Quest better of a movie.
Dude, listen, I think Rob, going over what I would do if I had the ability to write a Justice League movie with Rod.
Yes.
I understand that if they paid me, that I would be getting paid 70% of my salary is mental anguish. Is that as soon as this movie drops, as soon as my concept idea of Batman forming the Justice League himself drops, everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? You're ruining my life! Look at me! That's 70% of my salary. If you give me $1 million to do it, $700,000 is for me not to hit somebody with a baseball bat because I'm ruining their life by writing a decent story.
Hey, Aaron, now I gotta ask.
What?
At what point do you make enough money to say fuck you to anybody?
Oh, that's a totally different question.
That's the only reason I want to make money. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I'm a level right now. I only want to make fuck you money. Like, I don't even, like, I don't care about being famous. I don't even care about being rich.
No, that's the thing. That's the thing, though. If all of a sudden my idea, in like 6 years, there's like 7 Justice League movies and they're all awesome and I'm worth 23, like I'm worth baseball play, like first baseman money, $27 million guaranteed, then I will have a conference while I tell everyone to go fuck themselves. It will be a PowerPoint presentation with a TED Talk and an opening act and everything. You guys can go fuck, it'll be the GFO conference. Hosted by Aaron Van Freeman.
But see, that's my thing. I believe these people are making fuck you money. It's like,
Now, I will say this. I don't think, the only reason I can't 100% support Orsi is because he went back and apologized later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And you know my policy on that shit. So, I appreciate his original comments and I think he meant them. And I think he only apologized because he probably doesn't have fuck you money yet. Or like whatever his idea of it is, it's not quite there. So he's like, man, listen, guys, you guys are good fans, and we listen to you. We take you seriously. I had a moment of weakness, but you can't tell me he didn't mean every fucking thing he said when he said this. Cause I know these dudes are under a lot of pressure and nerds are very hard to please. And he had to tell them about themselves for a second. And I appreciate it.
The reason why I need this, I like this is because I feel like this year particularly has been a year where nerds and critics have gone overboard. And people have gotten to the point where we're so nostalgic about films that we haven't gone back and said, wait a minute. In comparison to what we used to get, this stuff is really actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And, like, you can't do this to film. I mean, it's getting to the point where I remember when somebody told Rod and I that, well, why does it matter? I mean, it's not like critics or fans are really making an impact on no, they are.
Yeah, they
are. I mean, look what happened with Kick-Ass 2. I mean, that movie barely made any money because What's-His-Name came out and complained about the violence in it, and then all of a sudden that automatically changed.
Yep.
I could have told you right at that moment that critics were going to give that movie a shitty score, and look what happened. Nobody went to go see that fucking
movie. And then
look
at World War Z, a movie that even the studio said they didn't expect it to make that much money. But critics were extremely excited about this movie in the wake of other movies. Like, it just has heart, man. It's a family, and it's like
the Wolverine,
right?
Like, I said, listen, this is not a good movie. I'll give it a 3, but it's not really good. It's better than before, and I'm grading on a curve.
Right.
Then I go back and read the other reviews, and I'm like, I wish I'd given the movie less, because I'm like, you guys are making it seem like this movie is good. It's not that fucking good.
Right.
And, like, best comic movie of the year. Are you fucking shitting me?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's just ridiculous to me the way this happened. And so, yeah, I can honestly believe that, yeah, man, we grade movies. Like, I already know right now, for this Batman Superman movie, I already know what half the reviews are going to complain about. They're already going to complain about Ben Affleck, no matter how good or bad he is in the movie.
Yes.
It's going to be three quarters of the review is going to be talking about how, you know, why Ben Affleck shouldn't have been Batman, but almost none of the review will talk about what he actually did as Batman in the film.
Right. Or if the movie's good.
Or if the movie's even good. You know, yeah. And that's to me, that's a serious problem for me. And yeah, man,
But hey, for a record, I appreciate Orsi speaking out, because I always wondered how these guys feel about that stuff. Like, when you actually make a good movie, and the only thing you hear from nerds is like, it's not good the way I want it to be good. Like, how do you react to that when you're like, but this is the movie is good. It's critically acclaimed. It made a lot of money. Like, people love it. And all you guys do is go on StarTrek.com and rip it all fucking day. Like, come on, guys. Like, I can't give you that feeling of when you were a 10-year-old back. You know, I can only make, you know, the material as competent as possible. And people are saying that we're doing that. And some people just are like, honestly, man, I feel like some people feel like they would be less of a fan if they admitted that these movies were good.
No, they do. And the thing about it is, as somebody who, like I said, as much as I talk about how shitty those old Star Trek movies are and old Star Trek TV shows are, I still enjoy them. But these fans are actually making me hate them, because now I have to go out there and shit on these movies to point out how bad they are to prove that these new ones are so much better. It's like, I enjoy watching Wrath of Khan. I enjoy watching, you know, I was talking to Kev about, we were joking about watching The Voyage Home, and I was like, yo, that's not a good movie. It's like, I enjoy watching that movie, though. I did. I remember watching it as a kid. I enjoy that stuff. But in comparison to what we get now, it's no comparison. And it just bothers me that people can't have these two views. They can't be like, well, yeah, I really enjoyed those movies. It's one of my, you know, it's one of my favorite movies to watch, but these new ones are better. It's like they can't have that dual thought process in their brain. It's just terrible.
I started feeling that way about the original Star Wars trilogy now, where, like, I can't watch it anymore, because I had too many conversations where I'm like, well, you know, actually, the new trilogy isn't that bad if you, like, follow all the background stories, look at some Clone Wars and shit. It's actually pretty good. And, you know, Lucas just fucked up where he started that story. And then people would be like, no, the original Star Wars is this. And then I start watching, I'm like, what this happened in the original Star Wars, and you liked it here, but you don't like it in the new one. Nah, man, it's different because blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but it's not, because, and now all of a sudden I'm critiquing this movie instead of watching it, and it's fucking it up for me. So yeah, I don't like to really argue about these things, because I would rather just turn that part of my mind off, because when I was 10 and I watched this, that part of my mind was turned off, you know?
Exactly.
Speaking of which, more movie news. Edgar Wright's Ant-Man has been moved up to the summer 2015 instead of the fall.
Cool. Who's going to be Ant-Man?
I still don't see any casting news.
No, they haven't casted for it yet. I don't think they listed anybody yet.
This is another part of what I was talking about last week with you, Chris. It's starting to get to the point where the announcement of the movie is the most excited people will be for a movie anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this movie's coming out. Wow. Oh, so awesome. And then you see a trailer and you're like, oh, it looks okay, I guess. And you go see the movie and you're like, oh, I had a pretty good time. And then you go home and tweet and you're like, this movie fucking sucked.
Perfect example. And you know what it is? And I always say that I'm always fighting against, I talk about these behaviors because I'm fighting against them myself, because I sometimes do it myself.
Yeah.
Perfect example of this is that RoboCop trailer that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following them talking about this shit and was like, well, maybe it'll be good. Then I started reading comments and I was like, maybe it'll be bad. Then I heard about them showing the footage at San Diego Comic-Con. Everybody was like, well, wasn't that good? Then I saw the fucking trailer for myself and I was like, well, wait a minute, guys. It's like, this actually looks like it could be good. And I was like, you know what? I got to stop getting hype or basing my excitement for these films off of what other people were saying about it. and just let it come, let myself enjoy either the trailers and the hype and get either build the hype for myself or don't build it, because I can't let this other shit happen, because people follow the movies from when they announce the movie through everything from the cast to the set. They'll show you the set photos, everything, and they'll nitpick every fucking thing. So when the movie comes out, and I swear, that's what happened with some of these other films. Yeah. Like, they nitpick the film so much that to them, the movie couldn't be good.
Yep.
And I just can't do that.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Enjoy the golden age, Chris. Just enjoy the golden age. It's a special time. Just enjoy it. Don't let nobody take you off of it. All these movies. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
I was going to say that all these movies, no matter how good or bad they are, I kind of enjoy sitting down watching them. I watched The Green Lantern again the other day, and it's a terrible movie, but I kind of enjoyed it because, we're here now. This is the worst movie. This is the worst superhero movie in the past 5 years.
Yeah, what's crazy to me too is, I think the problem for me is that the studio started feeding into the beast of hyping their stuff before they've even done anything. So now we're announcing the title of the movie at Comic-Con. Woo! And it's like, so when's it coming out? In 7 years. I'm like, wait a minute. You're going to sour everybody by the time we get to it. You know, when, you have, Bryan Singer, sending out pictures of the Sentinel, like, check it out, guys. And you're like, that looks terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't help you, sell these movies, because now you're lowering people's, anticipation for it. But yeah, I guess movie theaters, studios are just now, they're part of the hype game. So we're just going to deal with it.
Yeah, it's the downside of the social media aspect of it. Everybody needs to put everything on social media. It's actually the one thing that I think Christopher Nolan didn't get enough credit for.
Right.
Is that you really didn't get shit from him. Right. Like, even when he's doing this new movie, Interstellar, you're not getting shit from him.
Dude, I haven't covered it on the show because I've read articles that literally speculate on what it might be about.
Right.
Nah, I'm good. I'll wait.
Nobody knows.
Christopher Nolan is good. He will show us what it's about when it's time. And nobody not a knows. Second before. We'll be fine, guys.
Do you remember the Inception trailer? I had no idea what that movie was about. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to see this shit, though. Like, I had no idea.
It had was them ominous horns and different serious Leonardo DiCaprio faces. And I said, this is going to be good.
Right.
It's like, what's it about? I don't know, dawg. Leo making them faces. Ominous horns is going off. What the fuck else do you need? Christopher Nolan came up after the credits came. I'm good.
Yeah, it's like, that's what you want. You want the anticipation of a film. You don't need every little thing. And actually, you know what? I also think that the way they did Avengers also was good. Here's why. They gave you a lot of stuff to hype it. But when you actually saw the film, you were like, wow, they showed us nothing compared to what was actually on screen. It's like, that is how you do it.
Yeah, I actually remember the one trailer that went too far with Avengers, and it was the Super Bowl trailer where they were trying to hype everybody up.
Right.
And they show the Hulk catch Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't happen to the end of the movie.
And it doesn't happen when you figure it will happen.
Right. So I'm still watching the movie like, wait a minute. I feel like a lot of shit has happened and nothing. Okay. Well, I guess maybe they just showed it. It didn't make the movie. And then when it happens, you're like,
can I just say, I love when they do that with trailers. I love when they cut trailers to mislead you.
Yes.
Like the way they cut that Avengers Super Bowl trailer, it was even that the full trailer after that, it was so misleading because there were so many other parts too in that trailer where you think things are happening the way, so you're in the film, you're like, yeah, this is about to happen. Then you're like, holy shit, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, even that scene where the Hulk catches Iron Man, the only reason that I gasped when I saw it during the Super Bowl was, does that mean he can control the Hulk?
Right.
But you don't know till you watch the movie, and that is like his main story arc is like, by the way, guys, I can control the Hulk now. It just starts whooping people's ass. Like, that was cool. And then, the other trailer that I thought didn't get enough credit was The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Because everyone that knows the Bane Breaks Batman storyline, when you saw Bruce Wayne with that fucking cane, limping around and shit, being old, and the doctor's talking to him, I think everybody's thought was like, oh, so Bane fucked him up, And then he had to stop being Batman, and he was going, okay, I see what's going on here, Nolan. You finally tipped your hat too much. And they started the movie, and he got a cane, and you're like, the fuck happened? Why he already fucked up? This is, they ain't even fought yet.
I love that. I love it when a movie does that and shows you stuff in the trailer, and you're like, okay, this is how it's going to go. And then when you get to the movie, you're like, this did not happen the way. And I think that's another thing that fucks up a lot of people. I think that fucked up a lot of people with Iron Man 3.
Right.
They thought they knew what was going to happen in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. And a lot of reviews now are more people going, either I told you so, or why didn't this happen the way I thought it should happen? Now this movie is not good because, you know, they told, the trailer showed the Mandarin, and I know I've read 37 comics about the Mandarin, and the Mandarin's not really in it, so the movie sucks now, you know?
Right, and to me, it's like, I let trailers do what they're supposed to do, which is hype me, not tell me what's going to happen. Nothing has happened now, so.
Speaking of hype, Vin Diesel promised a merging of brands for Marvel's Phase 3, working on something for 2016. Can I just look, I wouldn't say it to his face, but shut the fuck up, man. Jesus Christ. All year long, he's just kept hitting, me and Marvel gonna work on something. Me and Marvel gonna do something. What are you gonna do? I can't tell you yet. Well, fuck, man. Okay? It's like, and then he got the part where they're like, are you gonna voice Groot in Galaxy of the Guardians? And it's like, well, it could be that, but it's something even bigger than that. Like, dude, okay, man, just let me know when you really, is it going to be like XXX3? Like, what the fuck is going to happen?
Yeah, I think this is part of the one where I think Marvel is kind of overhyping some stuff. It's like, just let things happen. Stop trying to, you know.
Honestly, it doesn't even, Chris, it doesn't even feel like Marvel's involved in this shit. Marvel is like that dude that slept with some chick that really doesn't want you to know. And she is walking around with a t-shirt with your face on it. And you're just in the cafeteria like, nah, man, it's not what, we're not dating.
Go together now?
Like, yeah. She said that you're going to have a big announcement on Christmas. I don't know what she's talking about, man. I'm going home for Christmas. Like, Vin Diesel is that chick, dude, whatever now that is just walking around like trying to hold hands with Marvel. And Marvel's like, if you don't get the fuck off of me.
Marvel's gonna get a restraining order against him, yo.
Seriously. Like, remember when he, and cause like, the other thing is, no matter what you ask him, he never denies it. So, people are like, so are you gonna play Luke Cage? Could be something big like that.
Right.
You think maybe you'll be the next Hulk? Hey, who knows, right?
You gonna be Black Panther? Well, you know.
Yeah, what about playing the Vision? Hey, I have a vision that Marvel will have a future. Like, stop, man. Just stop it. Cause, you're just making everybody more nervous about Marvel now. Everybody's like, well, what the fuck is Marvel doing? Now, this dude can't be the Vision. He can barely fucking talk. Vision's a computer. Ellen Page wants to be Kitty Pryde in a movie directed by Joss Whedon. One, I'm 100% for this. Two, she is extremely smart to mention Joss Whedon in this. But three, it ain't never happening because it's Fox and they will fuck it up. So I had to like I got all the way hyped when I read that title and then was like, wait a minute, isn't she in, oh yeah, the Fox version? Nah, this won't happen.
Yeah, I actually think she's grown since they underutilized her in X3.
Yes.
And I think she's a really good actress, so I think it could be good.
It would be great. But can you imagine Joss Whedon with female protagonists? The way he wrote the Astonishing X-Men was from her perspective.
Right. Dog.
It could be great.
Right.
But they won't do that because they don't do good movies.
Right. The way they wrote her and he wrote her in Astonishing X-Men, like the way he wrote all the characters in there, but especially her and Emma.
Yeah.
Greatness, man. I love both of those characters.
Oh, man. Yeah, they would fuck it up. Anyway, Microsoft commits to the 360 for 3 more years. Makes sense. Not really big news. Although that does put a ticking time bomb on when you got to get that next console. So you got 3 years to figure it out, guys.
That's about right to me because I was going to wait until probably about 6 to 12 months anyway. So
yeah. Xbox One. Sorry. I forgot about this story. This is one of those ones that makes me kind of mad. Microsoft says Xbox One's original vision is still the future of games. Okay. That's why we backed all the way off of it. Those guys, man, they really got to do better. With
that's another strategy. Reason why I'm waiting 6 to 12 months, because I figure it's going to take that long for them to finally ease that shit back into
they're even platform. Did you see, like, the closer we get to the launch date, they keep leaking these stories like, you know, the streaming feature could be coming back. The sharing feature could be coming back.
Fuck that. Have you seen the things like the videos of people doing the unboxing and showing? Like, there was one that came out, and dude went from, like, the dashboard to playing Rise, and there was, like, no wait at all. Like, he went from, like, I'm on my dashboard, I'm gonna play Rise, and he went right into, like, playing the game, and I was just like, there's no load screen, guys.
Right.
Like, did you see this shit?
Dude, like, did you see the joint where they just... okay, this is when I knew my nerd boner was getting too hard, and I had to turn the videos off, because I was like, I'll fuck around and buy one on day one if I keep looking at these videos.
Right, right.
Dude, I got excited when they just showed the back and all the ins and outs audio visually.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, a HDMI in? Like, I was like, off, click off. No, I'll hit the buy button.
I can't watch that shit no more.
I will hit the buy button today, dude. HDMI in? Like, what, nigga?
Yeah, dude, that's what I said. I'm gonna just have my... first of all, it got me. You're a better man than me. I pre-ordered one, but that's neither here nor there. I'm gonna have my Xbox, because apparently you can have your Xbox 360... Wait, theoretically, you should be able to have your Xbox 360 on another window. So you could be playing Xbox One on one window and Xbox 360 on another window. Because you just have it plugged into the Xbox One, so it becomes its own window.
Dude.
So... Yeah, so if you want to launch, even if you get one game, you
can
just be on Xbox 360 on your Xbox
One. Dude, these are features they don't talk about.
Right.
Like, all you would need to do to sell these bad boys would have just been like, look, we got a lot of futuristic shit, and it's, you know, it's up in the air, working on stuff. By the way, you can just plug your Xbox 360 into this shit. So if, you know, worst case scenario, you feel like things aren't working out, just play the Xbox 362 and get it figured out. And people will be like, oh, okay. So,
like, I mean, I'm like, you know, I can just, it's not even like I have to hit a button. I have to change the source on my fucking TV. Right. I just fucking hit the button on one and go into the other. It's fucking crazy.
Worst case scenario, you still have a 360 that, you know, you don't have to do shit. You can just keep it plugged in.
See, this is the shit that bothers me, because when it first came out, they were talking about this cable box shit.
Yeah.
I said the same thing. I was like, well, why would I want that? I got a cable box. Then when Microsoft kind of sort of explained it, I was like, well, that's actually kind of fucking awesome, because that's what I want to do now with my 360, but I can't.
Dude.
So you guys just eliminated that shit where I can now do everything through the, I can pass through and do everything through the Xbox One. That's what I needed to hear.
They started it too early, man. Remember when they first announced this and they started showing those features and people were like, I don't care, we want to see games.
Right.
But it was like they announced that at the wrong fucking time. It's like at the time when people were like, so why do I need to buy this thing? What games does it play? They were like, all right, look, guys, how would you like to walk into your room, say Xbox on, what's on ESPN? Oh, nothing. Well, let's check out MTV. Why don't you record Catfish? And you just say it out loud to your Xbox. Everybody's like, I guess that's cool. That's not a video game.
Right.
You know? Now they're kind of, this is when you should be leaking this kind of shit anyway, man. Like, okay, I gotta move on. World War Z and Star Trek team up for a double feature. Me and Chris talked about this with Kev, I think, and Karen like a week ago or so. And, we were talking about how World War Z and Star Trek were coming back to theaters. And I was wondering, like, why are they doing that? Cause like the DVDs are being released and it really, and these movies aren't even that old. But if they're now teaming them up so they run back to back as like one movie, so that is new, and that people might pay for that. Like that might become. I hope that kind of becomes a thing where you miss a couple movies throughout the year. It's gonna be hard to pick movies that you missed, I guess, but that get some, you know, good critical acclaim, but maybe didn't make the money people thought. It'd be nice to be able to go, well, now I got a double feature set up where I can just go watch both of them. Throughout the week, one week. So anyway, it's interesting. Microsoft, I already talked about the smart glass. Retailers listed which games you can buy for the 360 now, and get for the Xbox One for the $10 upgrade. Meh, I don't care. Don't sign up for any Titanfall betas, everybody. Apparently people are using this to scam people. and people are signing up for Titanfall's beta and getting their account stuff stolen. So don't do that, guys. So it says right now, Respawn, the company, said, to help keep our fans safe from scammers, please know all sites advertising beta access are 100% scams. So yeah, follow Respawn on Twitter. All right. And I think, okay, we covered the Hideo Kojima thing. PS4, is supposed to be 30% more powerful than Xbox One. According to some fans who are looking at the tech specs, and Microsoft disputes that and says it's not. So there you go.
But even then, okay, whatever.
Yeah. RoboCop reboot trailer's out. Can't speak for everybody else. I'm 100% in. Saw the trailer, and I have not, unlike Chris, I have not looked at anything else. I don't want to know whatever anybody else's impression of this shit was. As soon as that nigga hopped out in that stealth suit, I was like, yeah, I'm in.
Oh, dude, you know what actually got me, though? You know what? It wasn't even.
I already know. Sam Jackson's hair.
It was two things. It was Sam Jackson in the hair. It was also Michael Keaton, too. They got me with Michael Keaton. When Michael Keaton said, I want it in black, I was like, I'm in, niggas. I'm in. Yo.
Hey.
Like, in black, I was like, dog, I'm there, dog. I don't care. Yep. I don't care anymore, man.
I'm a fan, dog. On the low, Michael Keaton been knocking it out the park lately, man.
Right. I'm there, yo. As soon as I saw that and he said that shit, I was like, you know what? I mean, it's actually got a really good cast. I mean, mm-hmm. you got Gary Oldman's in it, too. It's like, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm down for this shit, man. Fuck what everybody else is saying. This is what I'm saying. You can't go off of all, and this is why I've stopped for our movie site, stopped trying to post every single piece of rumor and news that comes out there, because a lot of times the shit is false, and a lot of times the shit never comes out to help. So I'm just trying to focus more on some of their officially released shit and do it that way, because I can't do this shit no more, man. Like, they really, for a while there, I was one of the people that was defending this reboot, and then people were like, oh, I don't know, man. I was hearing so much negativity about it that was making me nervous, and then I'm seeing this trailer, and I'm like, nah, man, fuck what these other people were saying. I'm in for this shit.
Yeah. So. Aaron, did you see the trailer?
No, I'm about to look at it now.
All right, yeah, dog. I saw this trailer, and it was like, first of all, I didn't know they were doing it, which is a pleasant surprise. Love to get that fresh, no, like, you know, studio didn't leak, you know, 7 years ago this shit was coming and tell me the cast list. The second I saw Sam Jackson just had the Dave Chappelle white news anchor hair, I was like, this could be good. And yeah, Michael Keaton. And then when they started showing the little changes that they made to the story that I thought were way better than the original RoboCop story, because like that's the only thing about reboots is they always made me think how stupid the original story was. I'm like, yeah, why would he do that? That's fucking dumb.
I like how it seems like they're gonna address the whole man versus machine aspect of this. You get a little bit of hint of that in this trailer, and I'm like, that's cool. That is awesome. That's gonna be fucking cool.
Okay, so. I saw it. Yeah, my only issue is that Eric Foreman's dad didn't murder RoboCop enough before to make him RoboCop. That's my only issue. They should have brought in Eric Foreman's dad to murder RoboCop.
Hey, don't you feel like he's losing that arm and that leg? Like when they show, because they show like he gets killed up a little bit. He's got a robot arm and a robot full leg, and then like a kind of like a lot of a regular leg and a whole arm left. And my first thought was, no fucking way. That those appendages make it to RoboCop 2. He gonna be full Robo by fucking RoboCop 3, man. No way. That's actually in the comic books and the cartoon. That was one of the cooler things, that he was upgradable and shit. So he gotta lose that. Sorry, bruh. Don't get too attached. Also, I love the typical like, he's starting to override some of the parameters that they always have with all AI movies, where it's like, don't worry, he thinks he's in control, but really is not. And then suddenly has visions of his dead family or something, and he can like control himself. And the last story, as always with Xbox, two stories. Transformers got an official title for their movie. It's like Transformers: The Age of Extinction. So, because Dinobot's gonna be in.
Is it gonna be directed by High Moon Studios?
Right. Basically, no. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Michael Bay's still at the helm. So.
And that's why I'm just gonna. It's eye candy to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
That's all they've ever been to me.
I'm going to this movie. All I'm expecting is a pretty chick with a shitty attitude.
Yeah.
A shitty personality that I match like 40% on OKCupid. Yeah. That's what I'm going to this movie for. Like,
I will give.
That's it.
I will give Michael Bay this. I enjoyed the first one.
I did too.
And I would actually promote that as a good movie.
No, I enjoyed the first one because he actually was reserved in it and didn't go over top, and he made it about the Transformers.
Yeah, it was actually good. Like, the stuff with the humans was funny enough and stuff. But, the other two are pretty much shit. So, and I used to like those movies until I played the fucking video games.
When I was a little kid, I remember telling my friends, I was like, why do there need to be humans in Transformers at all? You know, they told me, shut the fuck up. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, every Transformers story has all had humans in it, except for these High Moon Studios games that was just all robot drama, and it worked perfectly.
Yep.
And I was like, humans suck, and I've never been able to sit through a Michael Bay movie in one sitting. It always takes me three sittings to watch Transformers.
Yep.
The last two, it always takes me multiple, because I'm like, there's so many human breaks. Like, I don't care at all about your life. Your trick car transformed into a robot. Why are you trying to go to college? I don't care.
It happened to me, too, just like that, Aaron. After I played the game, it's like I cut the game off. I think I told you this is the greatest shit I've ever played. And then the next thing, when I tried to watch, because it came to Netflix, and I tried to watch Transformers 3, and I was like, I don't like any of this anymore.
I don't. You know, I hate to say this. You know how fucking how obnoxious it is that you think that the human story of a 25-year-old white male supersedes sentient robots from space battling with another group for control of a planet at any point in time for any length of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless Sam Witwicky is getting powers like Ms. Marvel through the course of the movie, there's no reason why I should care about a human drama.
Transformers 3 stars with 40 minutes of he can't get a job humor.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No one cares what your fucking job is, man.
Not only that, do you get that? It's like in between actually having like, what's his name?
Sam Witwicky, or
I'm talking about the actual Transformers. Because there's a scene where the like Bumblebee and the other two Transformers are going into and like they go into like Iran and destroy that reactor, and then I think what was the other Transformer that they had? The Decepticon that showed up.
The joint with the big ass worms.
What was that fucking?
Not Soundwave. It's why am I having a problem remembering this dude's name? Shockwave
and shit like that. You had so in between you getting awesome scenes, then you cut back to Sam Witwicky basically being unemployed, but he met the president and he has a hot girlfriend, but somehow he still hates. Fuck you.
Like. The last story, which is also kind of a fuck you. Xbox One says backwards compatibility is theoretical. They should be able to do it with some of the online streaming features that they talked about when they originally announced the game. The cloud servers they have remember when they said it could be used for more than storage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It could also be used for extra processing. And everybody was like, I don't understand what you are saying. Explain it. And they were like, you don't understand. We just want to talk about it. It doesn't exist anymore. Okay, guys, please just don't be mad about Xbox. I remember us talking on the show, like, could it be used to like play games? Could it be used to where you could do like, what was that thing that Sterling's addicted to? That video game Steam. Could it be like Steam? And we all speculated, and Xbox didn't say shit about it for fucking months because they were so scared. They are so scared of the same nerds that Orsi cussed out. And, now they're slowly announcing this shit. So, yeah, it's possible that they could be using it for backwards compatibility. I'm assuming they would not announce this for a while because you still want people to sell their Xbox 360s. And buy the Xbox One or something.
Well, not only that, but if I can hook my Xbox up to my Xbox One.
Yeah, then I don't even need this.
Right, I'm good. I'm actually good, guys.
I'm assuming they're going to wait till people sell some to be you can still play those games, you know. But anyway, man, that's it for the Nerd Off, man. This actually turned out longer than I thought it was going to be. Cause we had such good discussions, man. That's why I have, two guys like you guys on because, you know, I always enjoy discussing things with you guys. So, thank you so much for being on, Aaron.
That's wonderful. Good. Thank you very much for having me on.
No doubt.
Praise God for laziness.
And, thank you so much, Chris, for being on, man.
Yep. Thank you for having me. All right, man.
Y'all have a good one out there in podcast land. We'll talk to you guys. We had one comment. I almost forget that they did this. 04 Soldier told me to say it was about Ben Affleck. We talked about Ben Affleck being cast as Batman. He said, great show, guys. On the issue of Ben Affleck being Batman, I never understood the disdain for him playing the iconic role. Sure, he was very mediocre as his first try as a comic book superhero, but since then he has matured very well in his latest acting and directing roles. Also, even though it's not part of the Nerd Off, The Plain Dead by the movie trailer reviews is my shit. I recently picked up the game on Steam for the low just to see what choices I would make in the zombie apocalypse. Shout out to Chris, Kev, Phenom, and Rob for such an excellent, entertaining, additional show.
Oh, thanks. Glad you enjoyed it. I mean, we're having fun with it, and I know we're going to... We have two more episodes for this season of The Walking Dead to do, and we'll probably... Hopefully, by the time we get that done, we'll be doing GTA Online and talking about our heist after that while we wait for the next season of The Walking Dead to come out. So
yeah, extremely fun show to do. And I'm completely off of the Ben Affleck is the worst thing because nerds put me off of it. I don't think that man should be killed. And I don't think we need any change.org petitions. To get there's actual real problems going on in the world, people, and I'm gonna be okay if Ben Affleck is Batman. We'll get through this, guys. It can't be worse than Clooney, all right, no matter what you say. So we'll see you guys next week. Peace.